20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am half of your crew, Jason Perrone. You can find some of my work over at Game On Wisconsin, where I do the Quick Slants podcast as well. Along with me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, let's just assume that the weather is nice where I'm at in Phoenix and where you're at on the East Coast. If not, let's pretend.
No, we don't have to pretend.
And we don't have to pretend. It's looking good. And we're going to be talking about the Green Bay Packers undrafted free agents. There's a pretty healthy list here, as always, every year after the draft is over with. We talked about the tight end position last week. We're going to review the undrafted crop. And what's cool about doing this for the Packers is, for at least for a time, remember there was a long stretch where every year there was one undrafted free agent.
That always stretch is still going.
Still going. Always cracked the roster.
18 years.
Cracked the roster. So we're not, I mean, let's start with the most low-hanging fruit here. We were talking a little bit before we started here, and we'll start off with linebacker Brenton Cox, because he's got an interesting story. He's out of Florida, but this is a player that was a few missteps and a few things away from potentially being drafted, and drafted rather high.
Right. He's a guy, well, his whole story, let's start. First of all, let's start. He's 6'4", 250. He had 15 and a half sacks in college, in the SEC, playing against the best competition in the country.
Yep.
He went to Georgia out of high school. He was a top five-star, whatever them things are, high school prospects. He goes to Georgia, plays a year for Georgia, but gets thrown off the team because he got caught with some weed. It's 2023 now. To me, that's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. It's legal in most states. So, but again, it was wrong. They threw him off the team, you know. It's not like there's a lot of people have done a lot worse. So he transfers from Georgia to Florida, which is also interesting because Georgia and Florida are arch rivals, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes to Florida, starts, I guess he had to sit a year, but then he becomes an immediate starter for the Gators. Then last year he got in trouble again. The Florida coach never said what he did to get thrown off the team. He said it was a cumulative effect, whatever you call it. But again, I don't know what he did, so I don't want to defend him or rip him. But it couldn't have been anything too bad because there was no criminal charges brought against him for anything, so he didn't break the law. And Florida did let him attend their pro day, so it wasn't like he was, you know, anything that bad of a person.
Outcast from the facility or anything like that.
Academic All-American.
Yep.
So he's not like he didn't flunk out of, you know, so there's, he does have some pluses. The minuses are obviously he's been asked by, you know, he was thrown off two major programs, but the guy can play football. I mean, during last season, like when he was playing for Florida, before he was asked to leave the team, people were saying he was probably a day two pick, like a late second, maybe, you know, third round at the low, you know, he's that. So there's talent there. There's ability there. Now, the Packers looked at it like, you know, obviously it's not costing them anything to bring him in as a free agent. And maybe they get another fine. I mean, the Packers have, like I said, 18 straight years and some pretty good players. They've had some undrafted free agents who turned out to be pretty helpful through the years. Mm-hmm. Lane Taylor on the offensive line, that comes to mind.
Tonyan?
Trying to think what's Allen. Well, Allen Lazard, he wasn't really an undrafted free agent by them because they took him off the practice squad.
But, right, grabbed him from the Jaguars. What's that? They grabbed him from the Jaguars. And then Tonyan.
Jaguars practice squad, right.
Robert Tonyan.
Robert Tonyan, undrafted free agent, right? I mean, had a pretty good run with him. I mean, we can go on. Gilbert Brown, going way back, right? So the Packers have had success finding these, finding undrafted players who have helped them. And like, this kid, he's my number one of the 12 that they have. He's the guy I think that has the best chance.
Well, I mentioned the shift in attitude. We talked about it a little bit, about the Packers being willing to find football players and guys that maybe don't fit the same mold from a behavioral standpoint. I guess that's the way I'll frame it as before. But this is, you know, to your point that you made earlier, it's lower risk, it's higher reward. If he turns out and he keeps it together and plays anywhere near like he did in college, well, then the Packers might have found themselves a guy who can play. I mean, Chris Barnes was just an undrafted free agent that gave him a couple good seasons at the linebacker position too. So some positions you just trust this scouting and personnel team to find good players. And that's what it's,
Well, he's more of an edge rusher, Cox, but he, he can, I mean, again, and I'm sure the Pack, like, again, they didn't spend a draft pick on him. So they had a 4th, 7th round pick. So they could have spent one of those and drafted him. And but they didn't go that far. They're zero risk. When camp starts, he's a, whatever he did in Florida, you know, if he acts like a jerk, if he's not a good teammate, you get rid of him and say, well, nothing venture, nothing gain, right? But if he does, if he works hard and, you know, becomes a decent guy, you know, gets along with the other, with the rest of the team, like you said, you might find a, pass rushers are hard to find, you know, I mean, they don't fall off trees. I mean, they took one in the first round this year. So, you know, to get a good pass rusher, you usually have to spend something. This might turn out to be a pretty good. We'll see. That's all.
Well, the other thing I'll say too, to your point there is, yeah, they drafted Lucas Van Ness in the first round. You've got Rashawn Gary, who's an up and coming, you know, hopefully a budding star if he can come back and get back to form after his injury. They have Preston Smith, so it's not like edge rusher is in the same shape as tight end was, and he still chose to come on and sign with the Packers. I don't know if he got calls or offers from other teams, but
I'm sure he did.
For him to choose Green Bay at a somewhat already crowded position tells you something.
Well, it's crowded, but it's not like you said, Gary. I hope the best, but I'm not counting on him being there opening day.
Right. No, that would be very aggressive. So, yeah.
So he'll probably start on PUP, which means he's going to miss whatever X amount of weeks. So that spot's open. Preston Smith, you know, he's one of the few older guys on the team now, so he's not going to be there much longer, you know, depending on how Van Ness plays and then the kid last year, Kingsley Angabari. I mean, they do have some, but, like, you can never have enough pass rushers. I think if this kid's okay, if mentally and he's not a terrible person, I think at worst, he ends up on the practice squad.
Right.
And you groom him for a year or so, you know.
Yeah. And again, low risk. Right. So if it works out, great. That's a huge fine. If it doesn't, then you move on. Guys, you know, players like that, they're going to have another crack at another opportunities to add some players there, but like you know, pass rush is a position or an area where the Packers could use some good quality depth. Now Justin Hollins,
every team could.
Justin Hollins. Hollins was signing me. These are not guys that are, you know, scaring the pants off of any opponents right now. And I'm not saying Cox would be, but continue to try to get better and add players. And I like the approach. And his size and measurables are great. Comes from, like you said, an SEC school, played against some really good competition, was productive against that really good competition. So, you know, that's Brenton Cox. That'll be a name to keep an eye on.
And a thing too, like you said, like they're maybe taking a chance on a guy like this. I think for the most part, the Packers have a pretty good locker room. So I think guys like Gary and Preston Smith can kind of keep him on the straight and narrow a little bit if that's what he needs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
For the most part, they don't have a lot of – there aren't a lot of guys that have been in trouble, put it that way, on this team.
Right. Yeah, not too many. And that's been a very fortunate situation for the Packers. And again, I think that's part of their vetting process, and they've always done well there. So if we move from the defensive side of the ball over to the offensive side for a second here, we've got a rather tall drink of water to talk about here, and that is Kadeem Telford, the tackle, 6'7", 322. That's a big boy.
Yep. Now he's another guy had a little bit of trouble. But he's also a guy that if you look prior to the draft, the consensus among the people that did like full mock drafts or whatever, they had him being like a fourth, as high as the fourth round. But most had him like maybe in the fifth or top of the sixth. They had him getting drafted. And part of that was because at UAB, he did a great job against. He's a left tackle. He's a pure left tackle, which is a good position to be if you're on the offensive line, right? But he did a great job playing against LSU's B.J. Ojulari, who was a second round pick this year. Mm-hmm. So I think that guy that actually gave, you know, because he played at UAB, which isn't the top, you know, it's not the SEC, obviously. But he went against one of the better pass rushers in the draft and kind of, shut him down. So that's a good plus for him. Now, his knock is that he was at Florida. He went to Florida out of high school and left after getting involved in a credit card scam of some kind. Again, I don't think he was, it was real bad. He didn't obviously go to jail or anything, but got mixed up with some things. So he left the Florida program and ended up at UAB.
Sure. Well, and from a run blocking standpoint, his offensive line helped their running back Dwayne McBride lead the nation in rushing. So that's something noteworthy. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, this, and again, I know that Andy did a breakdown and he talked about some comparisons to Caleb Jones. Caleb Jones is bigger. I mean, he's a little bit taller and weighs more. And Jones has been, in the NFL. He's actually, played on the team and was rostered last year. So not to say that, okay, this is they're just going to stack up and find all these huge tackles, but we're seeing the Packers, they like the big boys. They like us. They like this type, or they at least want to see what he's got and what he can give. And again, here's another thing. I think this, the upside thing, I probably don't need to say about all these players. That's what they're all about, is the upside. Cause that's why they're undrafted free agents. They weren't drafted. And the Packers obviously are low risk, high reward potential here with most of these players. So Telford, another one to keep an eye on here. I mentioned to you before, just because I've heard his name a lot more, as the safety, Benny Sapp. Now he's out of Northern Iowa, 5'11", 200 pounds. I mean, that's the Packers typically like that 6 foot threshold. In fact, he's the only one that's under 6 feet as far as he's listed on this list here.
Him at 6 foot.
But at 5'11", you assume there's a potential for him to be, to be at that. But kid can play. I mean, and he played it at Northern Iowa. So again, it's not a huge school or a big program, but this is the Packers at safety. Obviously, that's a position that they're looking to upgrade and kind of figure out for the future. They've moved on from Adrian Amos. If they have to put Darnell Savage back there, I think that's more out of necessity than what they want to do. They've got to try to find some players there. They weren't able to find any or really draft too many. So
no, they didn't draft until the last pick.
Johnson's gonna and I like him a lot. I think he's they're gonna give him every chance, and it's the same thing here too. But here's another one. I mean, the scouting department doing their job or doing their work. Not too bad. He's got some FCS All America honors. I don't know if you had anything to add on Sapp or if there was anything else that you wanted.
Well, Sapp's another guy to transfer. He began his career at the University of Minnesota.
Yep.
And then for whatever reason, there was no trouble. He just, like a million kids today, they transfer. So he went to Northern Iowa and became a fixture on that defense. He had 138 career tackles for Northern Iowa. And again, like you said, I'll go along with you. Safety, it's pretty wide open. I mean, they have some guys that are very good special teams players like Daylon Levitt, Lee Ford, but they neither of them have proven to be a every down safety. So the safety position on the Packers is kind of in flux. So yeah, he's a kid that apparently he looked, I mean, I don't know what they did at rookie minicamp, but he did open some eyes there. So he's a kid that if he goes, with the minicamps and OTAs, if he looks good there, and then, that's what the training camp and the preseason games are for. If he goes out and plays well in those games and in those practices, he could find himself on the 53 man.
And don't forget about the GM, who will be watching closely at practice every day, Mark. And obviously we all know the GM of the Packers anymore is Rich Bisaccia. So if he finds any special teams ability from Sapp, then Sapp's going to end up being a part of this team for sure. And I want to talk about
think he would be a good special teams player, right?
If you run around with your hair on fire, that's what it's all about. And safeties obviously make really good special teams players. What about the other safety, Morgan out of Baylor? That's a nice, good program there. And he spent a good amount of time there as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's – I think Sapp's ahead of him.
But Morgan played some special teams. I mean, he had some block punts, so that's another one that Bisacci might have his eyes on.
You're right. Good point there. Again, I'll say the same things. The safety position is kind of wide open.
Yep. Yeah, would agree. Would agree. They added tight end Cameron McDonald. Now, that position group is starting to get a little bit crowded. If you assume that Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave are gonna end up getting some time. Did you see, just as a funny side note there, did you hear when they were interviewing Musgrave and he referred to Titletown District as Lambeau Land?
Did he?
He did. Yeah, he did. It was innocent. He was innocent. I mean, these guys are new to Wisconsin. They haven't been around the Packers for decades like we have, or for many years like a lot of our listeners
right,
have,
they
but
no
I just
idea that they're going to get where they're going to end up. You know?
I just thought that was interesting too, because I'm like, man, this guy really makes a name for himself. That's going to be a fun clip to draw back on, or
yes.
You know, hopefully when they're previewing him for the Super Bowl in a year or two, when the Packers get back there and they can, you know, say, hey, when you were a rookie, look at this clip from yourself there, and so.
Or maybe he was looking ahead. Maybe that's Mark Murphy's next project.
There was some talk about that too, about whether or not they would rename it, or you know what would happen. But getting back
to the other, this McDonald. Now he's not. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I didn't know much about him. Florida State, so a good program. ACC. He's 6'4", 237. So he's not a big. I mean, he's tall enough, but he's not a size. You know, weight wise, he doesn't. You would think he's more of a receiving tight end, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But from when I did my homework after, you know, to prepare for tonight, no, he's more of a blocker. He's apparently a pretty good blocker. So there are some people who think Kraft, Musgrave and Kraft are making the team. There's no doubt about it.
Right, yeah. Though, not right? A, yeah.
And DeGuara probably will as well. I mean, for a lot of different
reasons. Well, Mike, I remember Matt LaFleur said, I love Josiah DeGuara.
Right. He's making the team. And they may use him, as we talked about last week, in a lot of different roles. So I think if this McDonald has a chance, and some people think he may, he's got to beat out Davis. If the Packers are going to keep four tight ends, he just has to beat out Davis.
Tyler Davis.
Basically was just a special teams player. So if McDonald can show that he's a better blocker than Davis and can also play special teams, again, that's what camp's for in the preseason and all that.
Time for an upgrade then, if the Packers want to go that route. I know they really like Davis a lot. They kept him last year despite all the issues he had in preseason against, you know, to the ire.
It's an uphill battle for McDonald, let's put it that way. But there is a chance.
Yeah. I think for a lot of these guys that'll be the case. I mean, I'm looking at the two wide receivers. I mean, the receiver room's getting really crowded now. Like, yeah, Malik Heath, now he's out of Mississippi, 6'2", 213. Local product there out of Jackson. So he played at Miss. And then you also have Deuce Watts. I'll tell you what, the names, these guys have NFL names. For Deuce Watts at wide receiver, 6'1", 196 out of Tulane.
Yeah.
It's a good program as well. They even signed a fullback. Remember the year they carried five fullbacks? I think that was 2008, way back in Appalachian State, Henry Pearson. I mean, what does everyone think? I don't know if everyone does, but when they hear Appalachian State, Jacob Westendorf, cover your ears. Probably still.
Funny when he beat Michigan.
Yeah, 15 years ago, still.
I hear App State now, I'm being a Coastal Carolina fan now. That's Coastal's arch rival.
Mm-hmm.
So but that's a good football program.
Yeah.
I mean, there's several players in the NFL that a current Packer is from App State. Shamar John Charles.
Right.
Now Pearson, we're talking about Henry Pearson now from App State, who the Packers list as a fullback, but he played tight end at App State.
Okay.
So the Packers are saying, no, you're not a tight end. We're going to try you at full. And again, he's got a chance only because if they decide to keep a fullback, he's the only one they have. So.
Right.
Unless you want to call Josiah DeGuara a fullback now. I don't know.
Yeah, H-back. Again, kind of role.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, a long shot. Again, probably I could see him. I could definitely see him being on the practice squad just because you don't have another fullback. If you want to bring one up for a certain game, or I don't know why they would do that, but I could definitely. And also he's probably not a bad special teams player.
Right. Right. No. And I think that's what you're also looking for here is some depth on the
same with the two receivers. I'm sorry. We kind of glossed over them. You said Malik Heath
and Deuce Watts
from Ole Miss, who has great size, 6'2", 213. You know, he's another guy that played. He played at Ole Miss and Mississippi State. He transferred from Mississippi State to Ole Miss. He, you know, if they didn't draft three wide receivers and already have three young guys from last year, I'd say maybe. But no, I think the best he does is become a practice squad guy, because you always want receivers on a practice squad to practice, to play the role when you're playing, you know, in practice. He'll, you know, when the Packers are playing the Vikings, he can make believe he's Justin Jefferson or whatever, you know, things like that. And then the other one said Deuce Watts from Tulane, 6'1", 196. You know, again, I don't think he makes the team, but again, you know, if he does well in preseason, he can find a place on a practice squad. Again, like I said, wide receiver now, it's funny that we're saying this, but like, that's a crowded room right now. And it's young.
Yeah, it's getting, very young. It's getting crowded. Well, Heath, number three in the SEC in receiving yards in 2022.
Yeah, Heath isn't a bad, like I said, if it wasn't good size, like I said, good numbers. Last year, he caught 60 passes for 971 yards and 8 touchdowns last year. That's a pretty good year and a real good conference.
Yeah. Yeah, top competition. So there's, you know, like we've talked about that before, there's at least something to be said about that there too. I keep seeing, so Jason Lewan's another one, the defensive lineman, 6'6", 293. I keep seeing Lewan. We all know of Taylor Lewan, who tweeted, you know, it was funny. He tweeted out about the schedule release. And just didn't understand the rage around the schedule release. And after we finished talking about some of these players, I did want to ask you your thoughts on that, because we did get some news on Tuesday that the NFL is once again trying to tinker around with the schedule and flexing and stuff like that. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But 6'6", 293 on a 3'4" defensive line, that's a big body. Don't mind that at all.
Yeah. Again, small school. Productive. Started 41 games in college, had 100 tackles, 10 for a loss, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries. He blocked the kick. He fits that body type that the Packers like on their line, you know, as an end. Again, he's going to have to beat out. They drafted 2 defensive linemen, you know, Colby Wooten and the kid, I can't
Carl remember his
name, I like him, Brooks. Yeah. So, again, you know, uphill battle. Again, another guy that I could very easily see being on the practice squad.
Yeah, they've got a great list of guys here, and
I mean, there's 16 people on the practice squad now, so that's
because of the call-ups and they've expanded that too, so it's good. I mean, the Packers are adding more looks, body types that they like, scouting looks, you know, whatever it be, special teamers, you know, again, the GMs looming over all these practices. Rich Bisaccia, it's real. You know, until you tell me otherwise, I think Rich has a lot more pull. Who would have thought? I mean, he's really had his hand on this roster over the past couple of years. I mean, Levitt's back. Yes. Obviously, Keyshawn Nixon. Thank God he found Keyshawn Nixon. Now, what I'm curious to see what he does, and this is not a kicker show, but is Carlson the kicker? Apparently, he helped his brother Daniel in Vegas, so we'll see.
Well, he was the one that, from everything I that was my guess when the pick was made, that he must have, because of the connection with the brother and everything. But they, you know, Matt LaFleur kind of made it pretty clear when asked this week that, yeah, Bisaccia signed off on Anders Carlson. So
if nothing else, he likes the bloodline, or maybe he knows him and he knows that this kid's got a good head on his shoulder. He's like, he's going to come in and work
he
hard.
He just needs, or he watched them and saw the mistakes he made and said, oh, I could fix that.
Sure.
You know, I mean, some things can't be fixed. Some things can be fixed, obviously, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I had to chuckle, too, because they did at least draft one Illinois State player. I feel like there's also a streak going on with that school where they've had at least one guy in from Illinois State for the last decade. A lot of players have come in. Not many have cracked the roster, but at least, you know, they're still repping the Illinois State schools. So not bad. And actually, Lewan is a Yorkville native, so he's an in-state prospect there. But so I did want to – I did anything else on the undrafted free agents before we pivot?
There's a couple more that we haven't mentioned. Let me just – there's
the guard, Chuck Filiaga?
Yes. Yeah, from Minnesota, who, again, another one to transfer. I guess this is going to be the way of the world now going forward with the transfer portal. He's a kid that he played 5 years at Michigan and then transferred to Minnesota. he was kind of a – he started a few games. He wasn't a full-time starter at Michigan, but he played a lot. He played there. But he started in 11 games in his career at Michigan at both left and right guard. And then last year for Minnesota, he started all 13 games for the Golden Gophers, all at right guard. Again, it helps him that the Packers didn't draft an offensive lineman this year, but they didn't draft him because they're pretty deep right now in the offensive line. They have 13 veterans. Again, you know, he has to open some eyes in camp and in the preseason games. And again, though, is probably his best chance would be the offensive line going forward. You know, you got Bakhtiari's futures in jeopardy or in doubt
beyond this year
because of his cap numbers. Runyon's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Neiman's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So there could be some openings down the road on the offensive line. So if this kid, you know, plays well, you put him on the practice squad for a year, and then maybe he's taken over if they lose some people next year.
Yeah, Minnesota, Big Ten, no slouchy competition.
Oh, Big Ten offensive linemen. I'll take Big Ten offensive linemen all the time.
6'6", 321, and he's a Texas product. So
okay,
played some solid high school football at least
Let me just see if we forgot anybody else.
Well, we got the two linebackers. We had Keyshawn Banks and then Jimmy Phillips.
Oh yeah, from San Diego.
Yep, San Diego State.
Right. Again, pretty good size. He had started 47 games in college, had 139 tackles, 42 tackles for a loss, which is pretty impressive.
Yep.
13 sacks. He had 11 tackles for a loss and 3 sacks, at least minimum 11 and 3 in 3 of his 5 college seasons.
Okay.
So again, a guy that was productive at a lower level. Again, bring him in, look at him, see what you get. You never know. And then Jimmy Phillips, more of an inside linebacker, 6'1" at SMU, 6'1", 232. He set a school record at SMU. He played in 59 games. I guess COVID must have had something to do with that. But 179 tackles, 15 and a half for a loss, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions, forced fumble. And he again, talking about the general manager, he did block 2 kicks in college. So, and again, the Packers didn't really add anything to their inside linebacker group. They did move Terry Carpenter from safety to linebacker. But again, it's a position that if the kid looks great in preseason, he beats out somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, get special teams bodies. Look at all these positions on there. Linebacker, tight end, safety. Those are, you know, I'm not saying they can't crack the field, but if nothing else, you're
they could be ranked.
Yeah, practice squad or bottom of the roster type of players that you hope that you can get something from. So it's a pretty healthy list.
It's not bad. In years past, they've signed more, but because they had 13 actual picks, they didn't have to sign as many undrafted guys.
It's a quote-unquote smaller group of players.
And now they did add, I guess we could mention them, but after their weekend rookie camp, they did add some players. They signed a cornerback, William Hooper, defensive lineman Antonio Moultrie, and another long snapper, Broughton Hatcher.
Uh-oh, we have a long snapper controversy going on?
Well, they cut Coco.
Yeah, they did.
They sent Coco on his way. They said, Coco, beware, and let him go. So Hatcher, just real quick, Hatcher out of Old Dominion, 6'4", 242. You know, that's a big long snapper. He snapped all, you know, for punts, extra points, whole thing.
Right. And don't forget, they brought in Orzik from the right. formerly
He's
of the Rams.
He's probably the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably the guy, but it doesn't hurt to have another long snapper just in case, right? I mean, you got 90 guys on the roster. It can't hurt to have 2 long snappers.
Nope.
Just to give the other guy a break every once and again.
Yeah.
Hooper is little smaller than the Packers usually like at corner. 5'10", 180. He played at Northwestern State. Again, I'm going to had 100 tackles in his career, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, fumble recovery, and 2 blocked kicks. So if you notice, like, yeah, I think you're onto something here. If you notice a trend here, a lot of these guys have blocked kicks in their career, which means they played some special teams.
Right.
So again, he must hope he did enough during that weekend rookie camp that they gave him a real, they put him on the 90 man. And then Moultrie, another guy from UAB, he played for UAB, then transferred to Miami last year, played a year for the Hurricanes. 124 tackles, 12 and a half tackles for a loss, 2.5 sacks. And again, you know, a guy that's going to have to probably at best be on a practice squad, but you never know.
Right. Yep. More to be seen with these players as they navigate through the offseason and through preseason. Like you said, there's a streak of one or two of these guys are probably going to be making some noise. They could end up being that player that everybody pines for and is just overly concerned that the Packers are going to lose if they don't keep him on the roster and then no one else signs him. And they end up coming right back to Green Bay. But something interesting hit on Tuesday that the NFL has got a proposal out there for some flex scheduling there. So towards the end of the season, games can get flexed from a Sunday to a Thursday. And obviously from a logistical standpoint, and I'm looking at it from I'm looking at it from the fans' perspective here. And it's like, right, you know, a lot of people are making travel arrangements. Jason Wilde, yes, mentioned on his radio show that there's more and more fans that are coming from outside of Green Bay to go to Packers games. So these are people, sure, that are having to book flights, get hotels, and now you're going to switch the game date to four
take
days later.
Work. Yeah, that's if they do that, they're just telling the fans we don't care.
And he said the Packers voted.
It's all about TV.
Packers voted no on it, and I would hope so. But it is all about TV. But at the same time, okay, if you're one of the TV, you know, big media that have that spent all the money to get the NFL, right? You're banking on the NFL being what it is. The NFL has proven to be successful without any of this tinkering and stuff that's gone on there. Now you have to get even greedier. And I know all the comments about the NFL being very greedy. You know, Mark Cuban years ago said the NFL is getting hoggish, all this other kind of stuff. But this is just another example of, I feel like it's this big stare down between the NFL and the fans. And as fans, we keep blinking first. We keep showing up to the games.
You know what's happening? It's almost, and I kind of know this. The NFL, they have enough people going to games. They really do.
They're selling out everywhere.
Yeah. Very few teams don't sell out anymore.
Correct.
And even the ones that don't sell, that's damn near sold out. It's just because the stadium's maybe a little too big. It's about TV now. They want you to sit home and watch the game on TV, mm-hmm, and watch the ads, you know, and buy the beer that's being advertised, or go buy a car that's being advertised, or, you know what I'm saying? It's fun. And I've always said this, and it's weird because I spent most of all my adult life, basically, you know, at games, not watching them on TV. I mean, I'd watch a Monday night game, or, you know, the Eagles were on during their bye week. I'd watch the Pack. You know, I try to watch as many Packer games as I could, but mostly I was at games. But football is kind of the best. To me, football is the best sport to watch on TV.
Yeah, because you get so much insight. When you're at the game, you can't tell what they're talking about, rules and all that stuff.
No. You don't know a lot of things. And depending on where your seats are, you don't see the whole field sometimes.
Right.
You know, like, to me, hockey is the opposite. Hockey, you got to be there. Hockey game in person is so much better than a hockey game on TV, because so much happens away from off the puck. And the TV off, the camera obviously has to follow the puck.
Right.
But football, it's kind of, if you have a big, nice big screen TV, it's kind of, it's the size that the field fits perfect on the screen, you know. Mm-hmm. You get all the replays and you get this, that, and the other, you know. but, and more and more they're gearing, you know, the league, whether it's Roger and his people, or everything is geared toward, like, now, apparently, it used to be the NFC was on Fox and the AFC was on CBS.
Oh, it's all over the place now. Yeah.
Now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This year it doesn't matter. The Packers could be on NBC as often as they're on Fox.
Yeah, everything's a free agent. And to your point, too, stadiums can seat, you know, the larger stadiums in the NFL seat, what, 80,000, 85,000? Compared to how many millions are going to watch on TV. So why do you think, to your point, that's why the NFL's like, hey, we need to spend 80% of our energy – on this bigger market or this bigger slice of the pie.
And the NFL will tell you or me that, you know, hey, listen, we're trying to help the guy that can't afford to go to the game. Not everybody can afford NFL. NFL ticket prices aren't cheap anymore. Right. Not that they ever were, but they're. If you're going to an NFL game, you're spending some money.
Right.
I mean, you know, just, you know, not just a ticket, but like you said, getting there, parking, concessions, whatever, you're going to spend some money. You sit home and watch it. You know, you order a pizza or some wings or whatever. It's a couple bucks. And
yeah,
nice
you got the best seat in the house. Temperature controlled. Yeah. You don't have the freezing cold and Lambo and all that other kind of stuff, which some people,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, it is every year they're doing something like now. Is DirecTV, it went to YouTube?
It went to YouTube TV. Now? Correct. Streaming.
That's going to be that. So there's no more DirecTV.
No more. Yep.
See, what football has to do, and I don't know if they're going to do it, and I got to talk to some people. They're still letting you can't just buy. I can't just buy the Packers.
The a la carte. Well, because there's also an opponent. So how does the opponent get compensated even though you're buying the Packers package? And that's part of the reason why, I think, is because you've got two teams in every game. So it's like, yeah, you bought the Packers, but what, you know, are the Lions getting a cut of your money? What about the Vikings, the Bears, all the other, you know, 17 opponents?
I don't know. There's a way of figuring that out, I guess. But, I mean, baseball, you can. You can buy the MLB package and just buy the Brewers.
You can. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know this for a fact, but I know
that
I've run into
big of a break.
I know there's been some issues, and it might have something more to do with the local market, but local folks here in Phoenix have told me that they buy that package, they still can't watch the Diamondbacks. Now, why would anybody want to watch the Diamondbacks on a full-time basis? I don't know. But that, you know, all kidding aside, if you can't watch your home team, I mean, it benefits more for fans. You're almost better off being a fan of a team that's not in your home state. Like me being a Packers fan living in Arizona, it's great because none of the Packers games are blacked out, and they also get a lot of love in this market. They're on TV a ton in the Phoenix market.
Yeah. Well, they were. Now that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, the
how
schedule.
Does the Aaron Rodgers effect.
Yep. And now because we record, unfortunately, I know we're coming out on schedule day, and so it's like, oh, let's, you know, talk the schedule and stuff. But we're recording ahead of time here because of timing and all that other kind of stuff. So. We'll see, you know, by the time you're listening to this, the schedule leaks have already started coming out, or maybe they're all going to be out. How many primetime games do they have? And if they've got a bunch of primetime games already, I guess there'll be less moving around for the Packers. Because I still think there's an intrigue to watching Jordan Love take over the ship. And yeah. I think somebody put up a note and said that in 2008, the Packers had at least four or five primetime games still with Rodgers taking over from
Favre. And again, I'm a Packer fan. I don't hide that. I don't have to hide it anymore. But I'm also a guy that covered the NFL for a long time, and I've been to every NFL city numerous times. The Packers are bigger than most teams. They just are. There's a handful of teams, the Packers, the Steelers, the Cowboys. I used to say the Raiders. I don't know about the Raiders are still. I don't, because they've been so bad for so long now, I don't know if they're still in that, where there's fans of those everywhere. I'm living in South Carolina now, and I run into Packer fans all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Not sometimes. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, the team I know really well and covered them for a long time, and they're very good. They went to Super Bowl last year. That's Philadelphia. When I travel and living down here, I don't run into Eagle fans unless they're from Philadelphia and they happen to move. But like, there's Packer fans, Cowboy fans, Steeler fans that live everywhere.
I've told the fun story about way back in the day. I was on a trip to
forgetting another team, and I hate them. I don't want to, but those three stick out in my mind.
No, the old school, like the original teams too. They built up a large following. I was at a small island off of Puerto Rico called Vieques. I mean, the airport is as big as your living room, and I'm not joking. Like, it literally is like, you know, one baggage claim, and then you walk out the door and you're on the plane. Like, it's super small. And there was this little bar set up at this small airport, and they had a little Packers flag there. And I said, is this for like right now? Or they're like, no, we have this up all the time. And I'm like, in the smallest corner of the world, there's a Packers bar. Like, to your point, they're literally everywhere. Well, I just wanted to get your take on that. Obviously there's more to come on that. And the NFL is going to continue to try to expand and expand and expand and get more and more and more out of us. And it's just an interesting conversation I thought we would talk about, but
no, yeah, sure. Let me ask you one thing about the schedule too. So, So is there any game? Packers' schedule is not that bad, by the way.
Mm-hmm. No, they got some good opponents.
We'll see who they play where and when. I mean, we know who and where. We just don't know when. But to me, Kansas City is obviously a tough game. The Chargers are going to be a tough game. The division's a division. They play the NFC South, which I think is awful. They play the Giants revenge game. They play the Rams, who could be really bad this year. It's not the toughest schedule I've ever seen.
I'll tell you this right now. The most intriguing games I can give you three.
Okay.
The first one, because everyone's going to want to watch Jordan Love and how he's going to come out. So whoever they get week one, that's an automatic. That's an automatic. The game against the Raiders, because I'm looking forward to watching Jair match up on Devontae Adams.
The
Chiefs game against Mahomes. And can Jordan Love finish the deal this time and beat Patrick Mahomes at Lambeau Field? He wasn't able to do it in Kansas City 2 years ago, and Mahomes had one of his worst games ever, and Love was playing in his first extended duty again. Now, he got thrown in as a starter, found out on Wednesday.
Right.
So now he gets his – talk about a revenge game, Mark. That's big time. Packers-Chiefs, huge rivalry there. So,
well, the one game I'm looking forward to this of the Packers schedule is against the Panthers. Now, you say why?
Because it's in your backyard.
I think I might go.
Yeah, it's in your backyard.
It's not my backyard, but it's not too far. It's about between 2.5 and 3 hour drive.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Not
so
too.
I might, depending on when it is, I'm thinking about maybe going to that game this year.
I think you should. Okay. That would be my vote. My vote is that you should. I have no skin in the game, so of course it's easy for me to sit here and say.
All right, then, let's take it a step further. And listeners, feel free to chime in, tweet me, whatever. Should I go as a Packer fan and sit in the stands and wear my Jordan Love jersey if I get one or whatever? Or should I ask Zach to get me a credential and go and write about it for Packer Report?
Ooh, that is a great question. That's a great question. I think you might have a hard time passing up an opportunity to get in there and do some work again, knowing you like I do.
But I liked it, it might be nice to be a fan.
No, it's way more fun, but I don't know. I think when push comes to shove, get down to the end of it all there, I could see you sending me a picture of your badge. At some point. And listen, either way, you're in the building. It's a different vantage point. It's a different set of responsibilities. But, either way, I mean, it's a good problem to have if you're trying to figure out what's going on with that. But this is going to be a fun season, at least from a curiosity standpoint. If you're somebody who still thinks the Packers are going to compete for a Super Bowl, but they're going to try. They're definitely going to try to win as many games as possible and surprise the hell out of the NFL and win a bunch of games. And, they're not lying down this season. I don't care if there's been a lot of talk about, you've seen all the discussions about build or not and all that. But the Packers are certainly going to try to win games. If you're someone who is expecting them to end up in the Super Bowl, well, it's possible you might end up disappointed. Better, more likely than not that you will. But take it for what
you
it is.
Know, I mean, listen, the year, not last year's Eagles, but the Eagles that went to the Super Bowl in 2017 and won it, the Eagles team that won the Super Bowl. Nobody had them go to the Super Bowl.
Nope. That's true. They didn't.
They were 7-9 the year before.
They ran it. Ran through it. That's, and we're seeing more teams like it, like the Packers in 2010 and the Giants in 2007.
I'm saying, but the Eagles weren't even a playoff the year prior.
Year prior, right.
It was Doug Peterson's second year, Carson Wentz's second year. No one saw that coming. The Bengals. I don't think anybody saw the Bengals a couple years ago going to the Super Bowl. Burrow just kind of, he was coming off the injury. So, yeah, I'm not predicting the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying they're not going to be 4-13 either, like I'm hearing some people say.
No.
There's too much talent on this team.
No, and listen, the bar is 8-9. Simple.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Just improve on that. Just improve on that. You win one more game, you're over .500.
Yep.
They finished 6-10, and they finished 6-10 in Aaron's first season, and a lot of that was on the defense. But we don't have to get into those semantics.
Oh, that was all those. We went over that a couple weeks ago. Remember all those when they had
less than one score of games.
Yeah, every one, but like one or they a couple teams beat them pretty good. But other than that, they could have won every like six of those losses. They could have easily have won.
Yeah.
I think they led in six of them. Two were in overtime.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a tough different circumstance.
Different season. But, well, speaking of Packer Report, what is up now? Yeah. What's coming up?
Well, actually, what's up now is what we just talked about. I had a story on the undrafted free agents, and just like we said, who has a chance to make it and who doesn't. And then I'll probably do something on after the schedule comes out, just look at the quirks in the schedule and what not. I'm not going to do a win-loss. I don't want to do that. Just, where the soft spots are, where the tough parts are, what games are the most intriguing.
Okay. All right. Very good. And the Quick Science Podcast, as soon as there's any meat to talk about, in fact, we may end up doing a show about the schedule. So stay tuned. There could be a Monday edition of the Quick Slants podcast. But in the meantime, thanks everybody for riding along, getting gearing up for another weekend. Hope everybody is winding down their spring. Although I guess, yeah, we're getting close to summer. School's almost out. Mm-hmm. So hope everybody's taking care of themselves, enjoying some warmer temperatures. Take care of yourself. Be safe. And as always, go Pack, go.